Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Warm up your home this winter with this season's new cosy bedding. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Five one double 51 is our text number. This is a harrowing story. Grania Teal and Grania, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's hard to believe. It really is.
I know.
That there's one county in Ireland that is different from the other 26 in the Republic.
Yeah.
Explain to our listeners in what way, Grania.
Okay, so both of my boys have had bilateral retinoblastoma, which is eye cancer. They both lost a right eye each.
Okay.
So that means they need to get prosthetics done as and when they grow. So you put in, we're on the medical card, which for the treatment. So you have to put in for a grant to get your payment. So our oculist would have put in for the grant for the boys to be, for me to be phoned and told that every other county in Ireland gets 2,200 per child for the grant and Meath only gets 650.
And why? Why is Meath so mean?
I don't know.
Because it's all coming from public funds at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. There should be one head office for the whole thing. But you're just dealing with one place.
Okay. Now, obviously, your boys are growing, Keane and Jack. And so if you grow every element, including your eyes, and each of them has a prosthetic eye. As we spoke about prosthetic eyes about 3 months ago when we were talking about freak accidents, they are extremely complicated. They're extremely precise.
Yes.
And but so they're expensive.
Very expensive. And for the company that we're with, Peter O'Gorman, he does some of the work here and then some of the work is sent off to be done in France.
Yeah, because at one stage, if my memory serves me correctly, that the eye has to actually be, the prosthetic eye has to be painted by a professional artist to get the...
Yeah, and moulding's taken of your socket as well, because your socket changes as you grow.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Jack's 17, Keane is 14. How often have they had to have the prosthetic eye replaced?
Well, Jack had his eye removed at 3, so we're looking at, he's had more than 10 eyes done now.
Okay.
Keane was 6 when he had his eye removed, so we're talking about maybe four or five for him.
Okay. And is there, you know the way people, everyone's, I don't know if it's true or not, everyone growing, you stops growing at 21 or whatever. Is there what's ahead of you?
Well, hopefully they shouldn't need to get many more eyes after 18.
Okay.
And it could be like one every 5 years then. So the idea is maybe have fillings done on an existing eye or have two on the go that you can then work on one.
Okay. And what
when they stop growing, they don't need as many.
Of course. And what happens, Grania, when they're at the age they're at, when they're growing in sports and jumps and leaps?
Yeah.
What happens if they cannot get a new prosthetic eye?
Well, they're left with the one that's in their head.
Yeah.
So for the moment, like my elder lad, Jack, his prosthetic is not actually touching the implant at the back or the muscle. So where it's not touching, he has no movement and it's causing infections. So we've been in and out of Temple Street for antibiotics because it causes like a green gunk to come out of the eye. Yeah.
Oh, the poor chap. And Grania, the prosthetic eye, obviously there's no vision, obviously, but you say it does actually move in.
You can
adjust it with your pre-existing muscles, even though the two lads, your two sons have had eye cancer.
Yeah, they put an implant, it's like a very squidgy ball, it's put inside your head.
Yeah.
Your muscles are, some of your muscles are attached to that and skin's put over that. So then your prosthetic sits onto them and the muscle kind of holds them in, your lid holds them in. So you would get about 40% movement from side to side.
Okay.
I don't think any from up and down, but side to side. So it would mimic, looking at them, it would mimic a real eye. You would never know.
Okay. And when did you realise, it would have been Jack Force, he was, Well, Jack, hang on,
same
Jack.
Same time.
That the two of them Jack had retinoblastoma.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jack was 3 and Kian was 6 months. They were diagnosed a day apart.
And how did it, what prompted a diagnosis?
We were on holidays and on coming back, Kian, a baby at the time, got conjunctivitis.
Okay.
On giving the medication to both boys, it made Jack's eyes shine white.
Wow.
So we ended up bringing him into the hospital.
And when you heard the diagnosis, and were you given the prospect of the eye having to, in each case, the eye having to
away,
be...
Straight away, Professor said, in order to save this child's life, his right eye has to be removed now, as in 3 days' time, and then we'll start treatment on his left eye to try and save his left eye. I then asked, can I have my other child checked? And he was like, it's so rare, but I think to please me, he said, yes, okay. And then going in the next day, my mum brought him in, the little lad in the next day, for him to say, actually, he has more tumours than Kian, than Jack.
God. So the both of them have their eye removed around the same time?
No, Jack had his eye removed age 3, and they treated Kian for 6 years before removing his right eye. Because they had it in both, so they were trying to...
Kian's
was all central. They were trying to just save his eyesight in general with both eyes.
Okay. Now, how much does a new prosthetic eye cost in full?
I'm not 100% sure, but I know that they're not absorbing too much of a cost with the $2,200.
And you say every county gives a grant of $2,200, except Meath.
Except Meath.
Which gives a grant of a quarter, nearly, of what every other county does. And
so then asking me to pay $3,100, in other words, to get them sorted.
That's what I was going to ask. How much?
Yeah.
Leave it. Forget about the 2 grants at this stage, the 2-2 and the 25 and the 650 in me and Meath. How much in total... Do you have to add money to those grants?
No.
Okay.
No.
But you will if you're only given 650.
I would be left paying 3,100, but Peter O'Gorman, his company is going to absorb the costs.
Oh, are they?
For us, yeah.
But they can't do that for everyone. I know it's.
No, they can't. Exactly. Yep.
And did you, Grania? Did you by any chance raise it during the general election? Because, like Meath is a constituency and it's hard
but
fought.
I come under loud for voting.
Okay.
They've split the area I'm in between Loud and Meath. So I actually come under HSE for Loud for treatment for Kian. And we vote Loud, but we're Meath for our address and Meath for our doctors.
And Meath for where you apply for the grant, which I presume is...
Yes, because my medical card would be Meath. Yeah.
Community welfare or whatever. And have you asked them why Meath give one-third, between one-third and a quarter, for something so important, something that which is of no use for you to hear, something relatively rare in the overall, but that's no use for you to hear. Why there's such a disparity?
I don't know why, because the last we haven't had eyes in about 3 years now. So we would have been under Dixon Hempelstall last time with Donal O'Malley, which Peter worked for. And they've obviously, that company's, they retired and finished.
Yeah.
So they would have absorbed the costs as well when we lived in Meath, which I found out today. His company absorbed the costs as well.
Okay. Well, surely, if you're on the medical card, I hope. I hope you're eligible.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, of course you would be eligible with 2 children with those challenges.
Yeah.
Is it not covered by the medical card?
Well, that's what the medical card is. It's giving you a grant for them.
The 650.
Through your medical card.
The 650.
Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of other treatment for the, do we know how common... Now, I know for you it's 100% because your 2 boys have it.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know how common... retinoblastoma is in the population?
Retinoblastoma,
Retina, sorry.
Well, the year the boys were diagnosed, there was I think it was 8 or 10. I think it's roughly a little bit less than that per year.
In the country?
Yeah, it's very rare. We are the only brothers.
Wow. So it's so rare.
Mm-hmm.
But still, one area, Meath, have decided to go against every other county in the country. Mm-hmm. About the with the level of grant they give for this very rare occurrence, this very rare cancer it is.
Yes.
Okay, we've been on to the HSE, but are people, Grania, are people hoping, as you say, when Dixon Hempenstall, that great family pharmacy, they obviously had the. They did work with eyes and they looked after that end of for the department.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying you now discover they've absorbed the deficit, the lot. Yeah.
Yeah, because we were with Dixon Hempstall since they were first diagnosed, and then after their company folded about a year ago because they retired, and then Peter O'Gorman has taken over.
Yeah.
So he's honouring Dixon Hempstall.
Okay. But surely the state should honour you and your children. As
I
it
should
does.
Honour him as well, yeah.
I don't want to hear you. And I'm thinking of the great Professor Michael O'Keefe as well, who died in the
yes.
last... Yeah, he was so good to yeah. so many people. As are all... And I know the Eye and Ears are brilliant, brilliant service
yes.
in hospital and the Mater Clinic, Eye Clinic as well.
And Dr. Katrina Coleman as well. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Grania, we'll get on to the hate. It just can't go on that you're hoping...
No.
Not that you're hoping... But at almost unbeknownst to yourself, you were being bankrolled by this company. And they were, I don't know whether they were too embarrassed to tell you.
By my postcode.
Yeah, by your postcode.
Yeah.
By your county division and the county of Meath.
Yeah.
The county of Meath goes back to the 8th century and when different tribes worked in different... That's where all the county boundaries mm-hmm. come from. They're meaningless now, but of course they're... They're meaningless now, but of course in terms of... GAA and county councils, they're not, but they are. Grania, will you, by the way, how does it affect the two boys? Obviously, the prosthetic eye, given the circumstances that they're in, means
yeah.
that to all intents and purposes, to people who look at them,
yeah. You wouldn't know, but yeah. they obviously have monocular vision only.
Yeah.
It's a sight issue, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I just think it's. One is so important at
mm-hmm.
every age, especially for teenagers.
That's it, especially for my elder lad. Well, both of them are kind of teenagers
yeah, they are now.
But, you know, they want to look and feel normal. And it's in and out to appointments for impressions and all that. Like they just want to be straightforward and have it done in a few appointments and it's done.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been in touch with the HSE and we're waiting for an explanation. But
okay.
it just seems such a disparity, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And when you say it, I don't know if you have to say it to other people, even your pals or friends or neighbours or school teachers or whatever. People's jaw must drop when they say, hang on, in every county
but
in Ireland.
Affect others in Meath besides myself,
yes,
because
yeah.
I'm wondering that grant must cover for arms and legs as well, I presume.
Other prosthetics, okay.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating point. Does anyone else? Do people know, first of all, do people know in this small country of ours, of 26 counties, a population of 5 million, no bigger than Manchester, in this small country of ours, there are different grants for different prosthetics in different parts of the country. So an eye...
You're probably not aware.
Yeah, and I know there's no malice or malfeasance in this, but maybe it grew up over the years. But the value of a replacement eye in Meath is 650, as judged by the community welfare, that section. Whereas the value mm-hmm. of a replacement eye in other counties is over 2,000. Okay. Grania, well done. You've been through an awful lot, but obviously the boys are great, great lads. Great
They're doing
lads.
Well. They're doing really well, yeah.
Okay. Is Eleanor there? Eleanor, good afternoon. Is Eleanor there, no? Eleanor? 51551, joe at rte.ie and 0818715815. Stay with us, Grania, and we'll have Eleanor after the break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I'm prompted on a different area when we're obviously Rania is talking about prosthetic, and we're talking then again visually impaired as well. But for those with hearing difficulties, I didn't know this until today, but the toy show was fully signed for those with hearing difficulties. If you simply go on to the News Now channel, and the whole screen is taken up with the obviously you'll see all the toy show, but you'll also see the great trained signers that are here in RTE. Just for prompted by the general area that people are talking about. Obviously, Gran, you're talking about visually impaired. I'm thinking about those who have hearing issues. The toy show is available in that sense. Eleanor Bourke, Eleanor in Dublin 4.
Hi, Joe. I'm on again. Last time I was on about prosthetic eyes.
Oh, okay.
This is a very difficult situation for Gronje indeed.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when it comes to healthcare and if we're not getting the satisfaction we want, we would have to write to our local TD about this as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're in a situation with no TDs at the moment, but you did say
we have TDs.
That you were hoping to hear back from the HSE.
Yeah.
To get
No, just to be clear, every minister, regardless indeed if they held onto their seat, effectively stays in place until there's a new government.
Well, this is true, and really. All the and I guess all you the can new, also write to Stephen Donnelly.
Yeah. And he stays in place until there is an... He's still Minister for Health until we get a new Minister for Health.
Yes.
Now, and all the TDs are they're on at different meetings today, and you'll see them on the news, on the plinth.
So I know, I don't know how often, obviously, children have to have theirs replaced, but speaking in my own case, it's every 10 years once the person's an adult.
And what help do you get, Eleanor? Do you get help? Financial help?
No, I don't really. And I really don't know. I can't say in terms of for children, you know, the financial assistance.
Just as someone, you wear a prosthetic eye. You have a prosthetic eye.
Yes.
And can you move it with your muscles?
Well, no. I mean, as Gronje said, the muscles control it. So, yes, it does move.
Okay.
And in my particular case, because I'm severely visually impaired, people always think it's my prosthetic eye. That's the eye I can see out of because it looks so normal.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was the one who said to you that it has to be hand-painted.
Yeah,
and
incredible.
The blood vessels are painted onto the eye. And when the person's making it, as Gronje said, they have to make a mould, first of all, of the eye socket.
Yeah.
And in my case, the eye is acrylic. So they paint over the eye. But they look very, very carefully at the existing eye.
Ah.
So whether it's the eye of someone who's visually impaired or someone who's got, quote, normal eyes, you know, they paint it accordingly so that both eyes are kept looking similar.
So they almost match. And if anyone, any painter will tell you, any professional or indeed serious painter will tell you, the eye is incredibly difficult to paint.
Yes.
Incredibly difficult.
And it's very fine, you know, to do. So it takes some time.
Okay. I'm thinking, was it Donald? No, it was Donald McNally. That's the Donald I know who was involved in the eye business, just in the earlier names that were used. Gran, you were, as I say, we're awaiting response from.
To come in with the costing there, we have been advised when the boys are old enough and they're adults to get private insurance for them over the age of 18.
Yeah, but you'll have to say to them, when you declare for the private insurance, the first thing the insurance company are going to look at, we'll have to pay out money on a regular basis. Guaranteed.
Well, hopefully by then it'd be. By the time they're adults, hopefully it wouldn't be as often.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking you will have to tell them.
Oh, yeah, because the boys have a defective gene now. Their RB13 chromosome is defected. So they'll there's a chance of a secondary cancer, so I'd have to declare all that as well. But otherwise, I'd have to just pay it all out myself, or they'd have to pay it out themselves.
Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll try and get some comprehension of what's going on, Grania. But thanks for bringing that to our attention. And Eleanor, and kind regards to Jack and Keane. And Eleanor as well, Eleanor Burke, joe@rt.ie, 51551 is the text number. Ollie White, Ollie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Well, what did you see? What happened? Because it's just, yeah.
Last Friday evening, coming back to town from a meeting down in Monaster Evan, coming up the N7. The naysite side of City West campus there, about a kilometre further out.
Okay.
And three lanes of traffic per evening for driving, rain falling, slightly rain falling, wipers on intermittent, 7:15:20 in the evening. So all of a sudden, the three lanes all moving along nicely at a high traffic time. Traffic stops dead. Cars scrambling to stop and whatever else on the road. Or not, no warning whatsoever. I pulled up behind the car. And I could see behind me people struggling, and I went in onto the grass margin in the middle of the road, and the car behind me come up inside me there. Luckily, didn't hit anyone. The traffic started to move slowly then. I could see five or six cars length up in front of me, a number of fellas sitting in the windows, out the windows of cars, with their back out, and they filming something in front. I could see then a horse running up the road, and then it became apparent it was a sulky race that was going on. So these guys come out onto the road and had a sulky race for about 5, 6, 7 kilometres, not sure exactly. And the boys behind were stopping traffic from coming to them. It was all filmed. Obviously, it was a well-rehearsed race, well organised, we call it, other than they didn't take into consideration the traffic. We went under the bridge, one of the crossover bridges there, and the bridge was lined with spectators, and you could see the phones filming what was going on. And that went on for 15, 20 minutes, something like that. At full traffic time, an extremely dangerous situation.
But Ollie, it's happening all the time. Every Monday you open your YouTube or your TikTok or your Insta, and there's more footage. Where's the guards? Did you ring the guards?
I can't.
So what? Does it take someone to get killed?
Well, that's the implication that's going to happen.
So these couriers come out.
Very dangerous.
They take over the full road, the full width of the road.
Absolutely.
They block it at the back.
Blocked all traffic. Yeah. They block it behind with these. There was a couple of vans, and there was three or four cars, and there was surely eight guys out sitting out windows filming the situation there. When the race finished, it looked to finish just past the Dublin side of the Green Isle Hotel along there.
On the motorway. On one of the busiest motorways
in
the country.
Yeah. One of the, I can say there probably was two sulkies in the race that I could see, because I'm back a little bit. One of them went off, the other one proceeded in the middle lane for another kilometre with no one behind them. The vans were gone, and there was a car beside him with two fellas, and they were having a full conversation going along the road.
And there's no one to check them. Yeah.
No lights, no warning, anything else. Extremely dangerous.
Okay, you rang the Gardaí.
I didn't know. I didn't ring anyone because I'm driving.
Okay, well, how come we have a statement from the Gardaí? How did the Gardaí give us the statement?
Well, I don't know. Probably your program contacted.
Okay.
RTE,
we did. And they say Gardaí. Bear with me here. Gardaí received a report of an alleged road traffic incident involving sulky racing on the N7 at Rathcoole at approximately 7:20 p.m. on Friday the 29th of November, last Friday. Would that be you, the night of the election?
That's us. Okay. Yeah, I didn't make the report for
that. Someone else did.
I was behind that.
Gardaí.
As was hundreds of people on that road, a busy road.
Now, did they just receive one report? They say Gardaí received... Cardi attended the scene and conducted a patrol of the area. No relevant parties were located, nor reporting members of the public identified. If yeah. anyone has any information yeah. wishes to make a report, please contact the Gardaí in Clondalkin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as you know, Joe, when you're driving along in that traffic, at that time of the evening, visibility is, you know, your full concentration, so you don't be ringing guards or whatever and else then at that stage.
You know what I'm thinking about as well, Ali? The poor horse has been beaten to death on a concrete surface.
Yeah.
That's not what they're...
These horses were able to do up to nearly 50 kilometres.
Judging by the speed.
Along that road, on that road. Yeah. So, Joe, just a very dangerous situation. I thought it should be highlighted, and that's why I just put into the programme.
And you know,
have assumed.
You know, the other thing, Ali, if God forbid anything happened, and if someone clipped your car, or you clipped the sulky, you know, let's presume and hope no one was injured. But if you clipped another car because trying to avoid the sulky, it's your insurance that will have to pay up.
Absolutely.
Because these sulkies have no insurance.
No. It's a strange country we have now at the moment that this can happen and there's no action. Now,
but
it's
I
the first time I ever
yeah.
I seen it, but I wouldn't be a regular on that road, you know. So, yeah, it's just a dangerous situation.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know whether there was cars hit one another behind me or not, but I know it was a very dangerous situation.
Okay.
So. That's why I rang it
okay,
in.
Okay, well done. Safe travelling, Ollie. That's Ollie White. Joe at RTE.ie. Now that I have a second, let me mention there's loads of, obviously, events happening around Christmas. Please support as many of them as you can. There's a Merry Little Christmas for Little Blue Heroes. That's in Dublin's Whitefriars Street Church there in South Great George Street, brilliant historic church. This is on this Friday evening at 7 p.m, an evening of music and a gift of hope by the Garda Male Voice Choir. And that's in aid of Little Blue Heroes, and they support children with serious illnesses in Ireland. And then you may know, because we came across them when we were doing a programme with Stephen Green a few years ago, you may know there's a fantastic, well, there's loads of gelato shops. All over Gino's Gelato, they're all doing well and they're great companies. There's a gelato shop at the top of Grafton Street / Stephen's Green, and it's called Sunbear Gelato. And next Saturday, for the whole day, the total proceeds in Sunbear Gelato there, Grafton Street, Stephen's Green, is going to help a young girl called Eve with cerebral palsy, and she needs an operation to help her walk. This operation will take place hopefully in Belgium. 50,000 is the amount. So every penny sent, vanilla, caramel, toffee, sold will go to this incredible charity for Little Eve. They've also apparently made 50 half-kilo boxes of gelato for delivery on the day at 20 quid each, or whatever you want to pay for them. And Bonya Bow and Swords are supplying their milk for free, and they're also selling Sunbear Gelato on their farm on the day. So if you can help out those two wonderful charities, or indeed all the different charities that are going to be out this weekend for the time of year, that's in it. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
By the way, I mentioned earlier three things that came in, all related to Christmas. One, two people about the Christmas tree and Dublin's economy, which would be the premier for the premier Christmas tree on in the land, in the country. They said it's limp, it's leaning, and it's small. It's at the junction there of North Earl Street and O'Connell Street, but it is the O'Connell Street, the official number one Christmas tree in the land. And people are saying, could we not do better than that? Maybe you've seen it. And the second thing is, this morning, two listeners spotted two advertising campaigns, one for 7-Up and one for Pepsi, billboards, buses, a whole shebang, where neither of them would use the word Christmas. They used the word Xmas. And as you know, now I know, as I said earlier, I failed Honours Greek and High Babies in my little school in Palmerstown, but it was a great, we had a great teacher. And the only thing I learned was that there is a word, the word for Christ in Greek begins with X, in fairness, but one, we don't speak Greek, and two, it's not the full word. So why are 7-Up and Pepsi and other companies using the word X instead of Christ? It's nothing to do with your individual religion, but that's that. And then the third thing was about, we had a caller who said the statue, people are very observant, the statue of Our Lady that was at the entrance to Dublin Docks, which is on North Wall there, the North Wall Road, as you know, there is an entrance. There's always been a statue of Our Lady. It's there, it was gone. And we rang the Port and Docks Board because this man objected to it being removed. And they told us that it's not gone. They've actually taken it down to refurbish it, to spend a few bob on it. And then when I mentioned that in the promo, other people are saying, why do we have statues of specific religious figures who relate to a specific religion on public property? Anyway, we'll come to that later on. But there's the three Christmas issues or Xmas issues that came in to us this morning, almost together. Aisling Kane, back to how difficulties for people who are visually impaired. You have a guide dog, Carly. And what happened?
Hiya, John.
Hi, Aisling.
Thanks for speaking to me.
Thank you.
Basically, yesterday, myself and my daughter, who's 9, we headed off into town on the bus.
In Cork, yeah.
We were going into Cork City.
Yeah.
So that was fine. And when we got off the bus, we went in one door of a shopping centre with the aim of, it was like a kind of a shortcut. We were going to come out the opposite, another door that brought us out onto the main street there in Cork. So as we were walking along, I felt a tap on my left shoulder. So turned around to be greeted, but with a sentence to be told that the next time I come in, that I'm not to bring my dog, as dogs are not allowed in here. So my response to this person was, my guide dog, she's a fully qualified working guide dog, and I will bring my dog in.
By law, you can bring your dog in. By law.
And it's just, I think yesterday was just the final straw, basically, for me in one way.
Because
I've been a guide dog owner since 2019.
Okay.
And the hurdles that I've had to try to climb over since then, it's just unbelievable. Between being refused into taxis, being booking hotels to be told, oh yes, you can bring your dog, okay, but there'll be a €30 or a €50 excess charge because they'll have to clean the room with the dog hairs. Inside in shopping centres or in the normal shops to be told
Big
to
deal.
Leave.
Big deal. Now go back to the incident. It was Tuesday, the 3rd of December, 2024, in a shopping centre in Cork. We were getting on to them to see what their response is. You're saying a person who identified themselves as an operative...
He didn't even say to me when he didn't even say that I'm Tom, I'm whoever, I'm a security person. I'm just presuming. I had to ask my 9-year-old daughter who was with me. I had to ask her, was that gentleman there a security guard? And she said he was, so because I wasn't able to see the man.
Okay.
So I couldn't tell you. He could have been just a stranger that came in off the street. And so if I had been on my own, I wouldn't have known who he was. So it was my daughter that was...
But he didn't say out loud, my name is whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay, now, I'm looking through the eyes of your daughter, Aisling. Is it evident to your daughter or any other 9-year-old seeing you yesterday in that shopping centre, is it evident that you were visually impaired?
To look at me without my dog, you would, if I didn't have my dog with me yesterday, a lot of people, because of my eye appearance, a lot of people might think that I'm actually on drugs, that I must be high on something.
But if you didn't have your dog, would you have a stick? Would you have any aid?
Well, I do have a cane, but
cane,
I prefer not to use the white stick because it's preference. I feel a lot safer and secure when out working with a dog.
But yesterday you had your guide dog with you.
Yeah.
And this person said to you, no dogs allowed, full stop.
Yeah, and then I wasn't to the next day I'm going in, but I'm not to bring the dog in.
Even though everyone knows, it almost trips off everyone's tongue, no guide dog, no dogs allowed except guide dogs. It's the same sentence in this country.
Yeah, because even my daughter there, some buildings that we go into, she would read the sign that some premises would have up, no dogs allowed, only assistants or guide dogs allowed. So I don't even know, like, it would have been a laughable joke if this premises actually had that sign up, and then here's your man telling me that I couldn't go in there.
And Aisling, is your guide dog broadly resembled a guide dog? Do you follow me? Does he wear a harness or does he wear high vis?
Yes, or he or she? You're giving the dog, you're giving a body piece that you put onto the ties underneath her stomach. Mm-hmm. And then there's a handle on that.
Yes.
And then on this handle, then some owners would use it, other users wouldn't. It's a big luminous sign that says, please don't distract me. I'm a working guide dog.
Okay.
I'm one of the people that do use this on her handle. Then on her body piece, it would be the Irish Guide Dogs, is written on her body piece. And then on her collar, she would have her medallion middle that she's qualified.
You're due an apology, Aisling.
And on her lead, she would have a little slip that the lead goes through, basically highlighting that so there's nothing else I could have put on her yesterday to show that, and then she's a Labrador breed.
Okay.
So basically, all the signs are there that she is a qualified working guide dog.
Yeah. Has this ever happened to you before?
Oh, it's happened in this same building, just during the summer, myself and my daughter, we were in there, and we were in a restaurant having lunch, and a security person came up to me again, and I was asked, is that a guide dog? And I said, she is. And I was asked, was I sure it was a guide dog? And I said, yes, she's my working guide dog. And then my daughter said then that the person just stood there for a couple of seconds, looked at me, looked at the dog, and walked away. And then my PA, I have a personal assistant that comes to me every Friday.
Yeah.
So sometimes when we're in this building again, she would say to me that they're looking at us as if they want to come over and say something to us, but they're not. So as it is now today, like, I just feel terrified going back in again into this place, because in case of something else. Yesterday when we were going home to get the bus, we could go up and around the corner, or we could have gone through this shopping centre. And I told my daughter, come on, I'm going up and around. And she says, no, ma'am, come on, come in. If he comes over again, I'll say something to him. Like, and this is coming out of a 9-year-old. And I said, no, come on. I said, we'll go up around.
I was
that afraid to go in there in case he'd come over again.
And your 9-year-old's being put, not by you, by the way, but by those who make those awful decisions.
Yeah, and
Did you try and contact?
I rang the shopping centre yesterday and I got no answer. And I actually rang another premises in there, and I spoke to the manager of this shop, and they said that they have nothing to do with the security, that it's the shopping centre itself. And this gentleman was going to go out and talk to the security guard, because I would be a regular customer of his. And he said that once he would try to speak to the manager as well, that he would get the manager to ring me. So as of today, I haven't had any phone call from the management staff. And you know, like, just a few questions that I don't know. Like, is it that these security staff that they have, like, are they not being trained?
They are trained.
Like, why aren't they up to date in the laws and the legislation here in Ireland, and what we can and can't do?
Okay. Well, as I say, we're on to the shopping centre. I just hope that occurrence on Tuesday is very rare.
You know,
keep going, Aisling, sorry.
I'd like to say that it is rare, but it's not, because I've been fighting this battle since 2019. There, going back, was it July, maybe 2 years ago, I went into town and I had done a bit of shopping, and I came out, and I was going to plan and get the taxi home. And when I went out, when the gentleman saw that I had a dog, he wouldn't take the dog. And when I took my phone out to try and take a picture of his name and stuff that he's up in his dashboard, he took, so that I could complain him, he took off so fast that he nearly broke my toes and the dog's paws. And then the next taxi gentleman that came along then, all I was listening to them going home was, "Is I'll have to go now and get the car cleaned. When you get out, I'll have to go and get the car cleaned."
Shocking.
So this
shocking
is what you put up with.
Shocking, Aisling. Shocking in this day and age. And that's, by the way, did anyone in the shopping centre, when they saw this or heard this ruckus, and this, I'm especially thinking of your 9-year-old, did anyone intervene and say, anyone take your part?
No, everybody just seemed to kind of walk past, and it was like as if it wasn't even happening. And at the time, I just remember that there would seem to be two bodies, which I presumed were kind of men. They kind of seemed to come from the right-hand side, and they kind of seemed to be over at the side of my daughter. Now, they just happened to be two people that just happened to be passing. But I for a split second, I thought, oh, Jesus, we're after being surrounded by three men, me and my daughter, And I had only just warned her before we went into town that, look, it's near Christmas. We could be seen as being vulnerable, like a child with a little handbag on her and me with a guide dog. So that was the first thing. But then I was distracted then by the security guy telling me about the dog. So I kind of forgot about the two gentlemen that had gone past on the right-hand side.
Okay. Well, maybe some of the witnesses say might come in and tell us why they didn't assist. Anyway, Aisling, we will keep contacting the shopping centre, and you say the store that you were going into say it's nothing to do with us. We don't employ this. It's the management of the shopping centre. Okay, Aisling, please, I know from what you told me it might. Please don't let it deter you going into town at Christmas. There's such a brilliant atmosphere around.
And hope,
our,
you know,
cities,
like, cause even there now at the weekend, even at the moment, I go down to y'all at the weekend to visit family and stuff. Mm-hmm. And at the weekend, I actually leave my guide dog at home, because when I go down to y'all, I don't know when I go to come home on a Sunday. I don't know if I'll be left standing at a bus stop in y'all with my dog or not. So I just have to leave her at home and then just use my stick at the weekends.
That's very, because the bus will only take, what, one dog at a time, is it?
Well, even at that, he mightn't even take me, even though legally they're supposed to. I could be told at the bus stop that I'm not taking you.
And that has happened.
Sorry?
That has happened, Aisling.
Oh, that has happened to somebody, there recently. They took their own kind of case against them. So when I heard of this, you know, this is what makes me very careful in where I'm going, and you really have to kind of plan your journey.
Yeah, okay. Aisling, thanks indeed, Aisling. Really appreciate it, really appreciate it. Dolores, thanks, Aisling. We'll get a response. Dolores Ferris, Dolores, good afternoon. Oh, no, hang on, let me go to Fiona. Fiona started, because Aisling's point is really, and if there are buses that are just 1,000 buses, 4,000, 10,000 buses in the country, if there's any buses that are refusing people with guide dogs, we want to know about it. Fiona Staunton. Fiona, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing? How are things?
You have an assistant dog.
I have an assistant dog. I have a Parkinson's assistant dog, Joe. He's one of only three in Ireland. He helps my balance.
Okay, brilliant. Now, you heard what happened, Aisling.
I did, yes.
And what happened in your case?
Well, as late as Saturday, I got stuck going into a shop.
Wow. Why?
And because the person didn't think dogs should be allowed in the shop.
But assistant dogs and guide dogs are allowed.
They are allowed, but the person didn't realise that. And I had to explain it to him, and I had to show him. Norman has his own licence, so I showed him Norman's licence.
He has credentials, in other words, a verification.
He has, absolutely. It's like a great driver's licence, Joe.
So when he saw or she saw this licence, what was their response?
He still said, why is the dog let in? And people start to put us in. He's an assistance dog. He's allowed in.
Mm-hmm.
So other people came to see it as well, you know. So, but, Joe, it's lack of training in security personnel. And I've had to ring a number of companies over time. I was even stuck going into the Mater one day, which was the neurological centre where Matt Norman, his research study is in.
And does this happen often, what happened to you on Saturday?
I'd say about once every 6 weeks.
For God's sake. Tell me about Norman is his name, the dog.
Norman is his name, yeah, he's a chocolate lab. He's four years old.
Gorgeous. Now, what research is Norman? Tell us about he's not just an aid to you, but he's an aid to science because he's involved in a research study. Is that correct?
He's involved in a research study with the Neurological Institute based in the Mater.
Okay, tell us.
And there are three.
Yeah.
And we were up in Dublin as late as Friday for his final assessment. So the idea is that he helps with my balance. So he helps pace me. I walk better when I'm with him. My gait is better. I walk straighter.
And are you holding him with a halter, Fiona, is it?
Yeah, we have the halter and we have a lead. So you have a long lead and you have the halter. So
okay.
And just like the other lady said, he has his Disabled Dogs of Ireland because that's where Norman was trained in Cork.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. They're fabulous. Brilliant, yeah. Organization. So they're absolutely, they don't get any funding, Joe. So if anyone wants to reach out to them.
Fundraising.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Fiona, and when Norman goes to the Mater with you, obviously... What happens there?
We hadn't been for a while. We usually go to UCD for the research. But the last time we went to the Mater, we were going in the door and we were stopped. And the man said, you can't bring him in here. And I said, I'm sorry, I can. He said, the only place an assistant dog can't go is an operating theatre.
Yeah, obviously.
They can go anywhere else they want in the world. He's been on boats, on buses, on trains, so he's been everywhere.
And did you get him into the Mater where he was entitled to go?
I did. The security man brought me over to the desk and the man behind the desk told him to leave me alone, that no one was allowed in.
Because Norman, if he's assisting in research in the Mater, he probably has his own file and everything in the Mater.
I'm sure he has. It's a big one.
So there's only Norman is one of a many guy assistant dogs
there's
for
three,
people.
Three and another one coming online for four.
And what difference does it make to you, Fiona? Because it sounds wonderful.
It's brilliant because he keeps me moving, and he has to be walked. And also there's a social aspect, Joe, because as my nephew says, people are nice when they meet Norman. So he's a great and. Bring him to work with me as well. He comes to work and goes everywhere with me as well too. So he's a nice icebreaker.
Are you safer with Norman?
I feel more, maybe, I don't know whether it's in my own head or not, but I feel more secure and I feel more confident when I'm with him.
Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely,
But you say being stopped last Saturday. By the way, I presume it's difficult. Did you stand your ground or were you able to stand your ground?
Oh, I did, and that's what worries me. I'm well able to stand my ground. Say if that was a young child who just got their dog.
Okay.
Doesn't do dogs, they're sorry. But it's a young child who just got a dog and that happened to them. That would knock their confidence and that's what worries me.
Yeah, you're right actually. Wouldn't it just? And remember your confidence, as we've heard so many times, if you get a diagnosis of visual, your confidence is knocked already. You don't need to be further knocked. Okay, Fiona, that's fascinating. And Norman. Where's Norman now? He's probably asleep, is he?
He's sitting here looking up at me.
Oh, yes, okay. Hello, Norman. And he's a pleasant little fella.
He's a big fella. He's a great dog.
Chocolate lab.
He's a big fella, Joe. He's a big chocolate lab.
Well, look after each other, Fiona. I know you do. That's Fiona Staunton. And Norman. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Rory Kilfeder, it's your son, 50. Rory, his article, Rory, 15, has autism and has an assistance dog called Ernie. What happened?
Yeah, Joe, thanks very much. Yeah, same experiences as your other callers, particularly around Christmas, that we used to be stopped going into various stores or shops by security guards who obviously weren't you know, trained that these dogs are allowed in. So my son, very obvious, you know, special needs with autism and a dog, a large black half lab, half retriever with a coat on him and all the identification. But you were always stopped, Joe, and particularly at Christmas busy times when stores would have additional staff and they'd say you're not allowed in. And these would be temporary staff brought in for various periods. Now, we were stopped outside of those, but primarily at Christmas. And you would, you know, look, I got used to it, Joe, and that you would.
And why primarily? Why primarily at Christmas, Rory? You think it's extra staff being brought in?
Because you would have a lot of staff for security reasons, Joe, and various different stores controlling, I suppose, the amount of people in, and also, you know, for what happens, unfortunately, in stores when they're busy. But yeah, just new staff on that wouldn't be au fait with, you know, the fact that dogs are allowed in. Like, the only two places that Ernie wasn't allowed in Ireland was Dublin Zoo and Fort Wildlife Park in Cork. They were the only two areas that you were legally not allowed to bring your dog into.
And what's that, because of animal infection or disease?
Yeah, to upset the other animals that wouldn't be familiar, and for his own safety as well. But just to, you know, primarily for the animals within those facilities, not to upset them.
And by the way, I should have mentioned, because you tell me right this, that Ernie passed away.
He did. Ernie would have been retired last Christmas. He would have reached his 8 years of service as an assistance dog, and he passed away in July of this summer. Yeah.
But your point is, it seems to happen a lot at Christmas time that people.
Yeah.
Obviously, I cannot. Can you
it's just a lack of education, Joe.
Rory, can you think of anyone that would mimic having a guide dog or an assistance dog?
No, I feel just like.
Beyond my comprehension that someone would think they are.
Yeah, I think particularly for people with guide dogs, where they're an absolute essential.
I
think that how anybody would think that somebody would mimic a blind person, you know, absolutely. There may be some confusion, you know, with people, that children, where they may appear that they are, you know, let's say that they may not have visible difficulties, and somebody might ask a question. And I suppose, look, I wouldn't ever have had a problem with educating people and somebody asking a question, and should there's my dog. But, you know, but it's amazing to think that Christmas, when you kind of need these dogs more, and where blind people need them more because store layouts change with additional stocks down central aisles. They're busier, and these are the times they probably rely on them more, and they're prohibited more. So it doesn't make sense.
How's Rory? He's 15.
He's great.
Looking forward to Christmas. Does he like Christmas?
Happy 15-year-old boy. Can't wait for Santy. We're on
good
the
lad.
Countdown.
Good lad. Yeah. Good lad. Oh, and Toy Show on Saturday and Friday night. Friday night.
Toy Show Friday night.
Actually, no, this year the campaign is Toy Show Day on Friday. Toy Show Days. So good luck to everyone involved. Okay, Rory Kilfetter, good to meet him. Tim O'Brien, Tim.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You are involved in training guide dogs.
I'm a puppy walker.
A puppy walker, okay.
Or the puppy trainer. I've got this pup last May. He was 2 months old. And I'll have him until he's 12 months old. I'll give him back then. As I say, he goes on then to big dogs. So he's for the guide dogs. And my job is to train him to behave himself, to walk properly, on the lead, and not to be chasing other dogs or other cats. He'll have to ignore dogs. And if somebody comes up to talk to me, he has to ignore that person as well and sit down.
Wow.
And you're not the way dogs, puppies especially.
So you have to be fairly knowledgeable as well about what you can allow and not.
It's my first time doing it, Joe. All my life I've had dogs and cats different times. They do training. The guide dogs do a lot of online training and Zoom meetings and so on. And, you know, there is a supervisor, and I meet the supervisor every so often, and we go for a walk with the dog.
Now, when you say you said a guide dogs do online meetings. This is you do the dogs aren't sitting in front of a screen.
Well, the dogs are the dogs are there as well.
I know they're intelligent.
There's only about six or eight of us, and we have the pups with us.
Oh,
well,
okay, okay. So they are there. Okay, they do participate.
Oh yeah, we've got two handling techniques and grooming.
Wow,
and
great.
Things like that.
Great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Great
it's
idea.
Good. Yeah, it's very good. One of the reasons, though, you know, I didn't get the whole story there, but. Mm-hmm. I was stopped in a shopping centre one day. The security man called me over, and I was ready to fight, right, you know. But he wanted to introduce me and the dog to a trainee security man.
Wow,
and
brilliant.
To the other guy, the legal situation. Excellent. Where, you know, guide dogs, assistant dogs, and even the trainee ones. As long as they have their jacket on them,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, it was very nice of them. And I had this buddy, it's his name. I've had him in various shopping centres. Mm-hmm. Brought him shopping with me and so on. I was telling you earlier today, the next job I have to train him is now on a bus. I have to take him to Cork on a bus someday.
But Tim, how did you get involved in this? How do you?
Well, Joe, I was telling him there, I'm on my own. My wife passed away about 3 years ago, and I'm on my own. Excuse me. And my adult children were always asking to get a puppy, daddy. You know?
Okay.
And I wasn't inclined to get one because you have an awful lot of responsibilities. But I saw a Facebook thing or something like that, and I rang up and inquired about what was involved. And I'm quite happy to have a buddy. As I said, he's a puppy. Now, if I have to go away, if I'm going away anywhere, if he was my own, I'd have to book a kennel or something like that. But I will notify my supervisor, and she will organise boarding with the family. That has had a dog before, a guide dog.
But do you not have to give your puppy away when you're madly fond of each other?
I do, Joe, yeah. And like they're finding it hard at the moment to get people to train puppies and to foster them, because that's the one thing everybody says, oh, God, I couldn't part with them. But before I took on the job, it was very clearly explained to me that I only have him on loan. And that's in my own head, that's what I keep telling me, he's only on loan. I'd probably be brokenhearted when he goes, because he's very affectionate. He's a great old companion.
And he's going, but he's going for a greater good, isn't he?
Well,
I know that's
the thing. Yeah. My hope would be that he will qualify. You know that he'll make the grade when he goes back. And because I think there's something like 6 months intensive training then in the centre in Cork before they introduce them to a blind person.
Okay.
I don't know much about that. Side.
Well done. Will you do it again? What's your puppy's name, by the way?
Buddy.
Will you do it again when Buddy goes on to better things?
They name each litter according to the alphabet.
Okay.
So he was the B litter this year. So he's a white Labrador, beautifully white.
Wow.
And his brother is in Connachilte, and we meet up sometimes and let him have a free run on a beat. And his brother is black as soot, so to tell you the litter.
So all their names in the B in the buddy in the B litter.
They're all B's, and they're on to the H's or P's or something at the moment now.
Okay.
No, they have their own breeding problems.
Well done, Tim. Off you went. Have you had your walk with him yet?
Could I do it again, Joe? Just answer that question. I said I'd think about it when it comes to getting back.
Yeah, when you get over.
I have an opportunity of getting another one, or I could go as a boarder and take in one every so often. To let somebody else have a break, you know.
Well, fair play to you.
Well worthwhile, and I'd encourage people to take it up, you know, because as they said, they are looking for puppy walkers.
Okay, and by the way, condolences. You mentioned that your wife had passed. Condolences there, Tim. Christmas can be an especially difficult time.
Well, I've a good family, two adults, and they're very good to me. So.
Okay, Tim O'Brien and Buddy, thanks indeed. joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Dolores, I haven't got one of these cards. What's the problem?
Monday morning.
Yes.
Having been disappointed with election results.
Okay.
And dropped into my letterbox was a Christmas card on post.
Yes.
Addressed to the householder.
Okay. The householder. Okay.
Now, that sounds great. Oh. But the amount of wastage in this country is phenomenal. And this is just another example of it. How much did it cost? I'm assuming that these Christmas cards have gone to every household.
But tell us more about it. Who's the card was from who? From On Post?
On Post. And beautiful card. I did send a screenshot of the card front and inside and whatever.
And have you especially, and speak freely, Dolores, have you an especially close relationship with your postman or woman?
I have no relationship with On Post whatsoever.
Why are they,
and the only relationship
sending
I
you
have
a Christmas
now
card?
Would be to hit them. Because they
Why?
Have sent one. They've wasted money, Joe.
Well, they didn't have to put a stamp on it. They get delivered free, obviously.
No, but the printing costs money.
That's
a fancy card. It was a very well presented card. And looking at the cost of Christmas cards for buying them, it was costly.
Well, they probably got a million. Well, I wonder, they don't tell us. Do we ask them how many did they get
did
printed?
Did you not get one, Joe, at home?
No, sure, I've no friends. Billy, no mate.
You're a householder.
I know. Come, Martin. I've one of the best.
Maybe
posts.
They feel people.
I've one of the best posts. I've one of the best employees of Impost in the country, Martin. He knows who he's brilliant. All weathers, like all weathers, never fails. Anyway, On Post and all the lads down on Lomond Avenue there at Phillipsburg Avenue, great sorting office. This from On Post. This is our. Now they didn't call you the Grinch, Dolores.
No, you get upset. I mean, look at it this way, Joe.
Okay, let me
they
say.
They wasted money.
Okay, but this is what they say, Dolores. This is a happy Christmas to Ireland from On Post. So everyone receives a Christmas card this year.
Yeah.
A nice way to kick off the season. It was really popular last year, and we also received feedback that for some people, Dolores Ferris, not you obviously, it was the only card they received. Also a welcome reminder.
Yeah.
Also a welcome reminder to people to focus on Christmas posting. There are some addresses we don't have in our database, but if someone doesn't receive a card, this is a dig at you, Dolores. If someone doesn't receive a card and wants one, like your card, they don't say that. I say that. And if someone didn't receive a card and wants one, they can contact us with their address, and we will post it out free, gratis, and for nothing. The cost, of course, is part of the general Christmas marketing campaign, and it's a matter that we on Post cover alone and no one else. So, can you get any use out of it? Can you?
It's gone in the bin. It went into the bin 10 minutes after it arrived.
The green bin.
Joe.
The green bin.
And you know why?
Why?
Do you know why?
Why?
Right.
Why?
To me. Yes, they have Christmas ads and they have whatever.
Yeah,
and that's
with the road, with the your but man from Yarrabeek Road, isn't it?
We don't need a reminder to do whatever at Christmas. I was sending parcels to Australia for the last number of years. Yeah.
That's expensive. I know that's expensive.
Yeah, I used to send it with a courier company and it cost me less. They're gone out of business. Okay, whatever. But it's now prohibitive for me to send. It's costing more to post than it is the value of what's in the box. Right, so you think of all the expats around the world. Okay. I'm not the only person.
Well, talk about expats. What do you think of Christmas being called Xmas by the big company 7-Up?
Look,
and
that's an argument for another day.
Okay, now, Sharon, come in.
Hello, Joe, yeah?
Quick, you have 2 minutes to convince Dolores to go rummaging through the bin and get that card back out.
I got one of the cards this morning, yes. And when I opened it, I thought it was absolutely lovely. It actually really cheered me up for the day.
Well, describe it to me.
It's just a lovely Christmas card, hold on there now.
And you'll put it up in your mantelpiece and you'll...
I didn't, yes. I don't know where he's after putting it, but it was absolutely lovely. Oh, here it is here.
What do you think of Dolores?
It says Christmas love and a lovely scene on it.
Yeah.
And it says, we hope this is the first Christmas card of many to bring magic into your home. We wish you the most wonderful Christmas filled with love and all the best in the new year with love. I just thought it was absolutely gorgeous.
With love from all of us at On Post.
On Post.
Dolores, you send Christmas cards?
I do.
Okay, how many would you send? I know
I'm
you're saying
more,
the
I,
price
I
of the stamp.
Reduced,
No, I have reduced the number hugely because of the cost. I'm in OHP. Okay. And I now make phone calls rather than doing that.
Well, Joe, you picture an older person living on their own, and to receive one of these in the post this morning, I guarantee you, would lift their day for them.
Okay. A phone call would lift them much more than a postcard.
Well, sir, they're not going to ring everybody in the whole country, but it's easier to send out a card, which I thought was just a beautiful
idea. I'm not asking for unpost. I'm asking for people. This is a reminder to you to get cards and post them.
Well, I do, you see. So yeah, I don't need to remind you. But
one of your objections is that the stamp has gone up significantly, and it's nearly doubled in five years.
All postage has gone up. Yeah, if they have money to spare for expensive campaigns that are really not necessary. We all enjoy Christmas. We all look forward to it.
It's a lovely time to get a card. And
pay their postal staff or their pensioners. Give them a ride.
Well, I know there is it.
In fairness, I know there is it. That is where the money should go, not wasted on a blinking Christmas card.
People look it up. There is a campaign by retired post office workers about their pension. It's led by an ex-employee called Donna Milan. Yes, so look that up and see it. So that's an argument, but I don't know what how that's going to be resolved. I think the government are going to have to step in there with those pensions. Okay, Dolores. Can I say Happy Christmas, darling?
Happy Christmas, Joe. Happy Christmas to your lovely wife.
Okay, and to you and your family.
An ex-Cabra girl.
Ex-Cabra, yeah. And say Happy Christmas to Sharon. Sharon?
Who?
Yeah, hello, Joe, yeah.
Say Happy Christmas to Dolores.
Happy Christmas, Dolores.
And the same to you, Sharon.
I hope you get many more cards in the post.
Well, it doesn't bother me because I talk to most of my people now. Okay. Cards,
well, just keep talking. Dolores, just keep talking to Joe and Sharon as well. Today's broadcast coordinator, Shane Galvin, James Feeney on sound, Tara Lockwood, Grant produced. Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Warm up your home this winter with this season's new cozy bedding. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.